What is going on, Indianapolis? You're back and tuned into the playbook for the first time in a while. I don't think we did it last week. We are on the radio show today.
Yeah.
But you can also catch this show on Spotify if you can't listen to it live.
Yep.
On Indy's Giant 90.9. So, Garrett, we have the Super Bowl coming up.
We do.
Anticipated National Football League game of the year. You have the Kansas City Chiefs squaring off against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Kelce Bowl.
Yeah, there's some storylines. So it's the Andy Reid Bowl, his two former teams going at it. Actually, the first two African-American quarterbacks to go at it against each other in the Super Bowl, which is cool. And then we have, finally, like you said, the Kelce Bowl.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good one to watch there. So just overall starting off, both teams 14-3. It's pretty even matchup.
How did ESPN, the Colts beat the Chiefs?
I don't know. And how did the Colts play the Eagles really close?
Oh, man. I don't know.
It's crazy. But we'll dive into the Colts here in a little bit. But ESPN matchup predictor is giving the Kansas City Chiefs a 51.8% chance to win, giving the Eagles a 48.2% chance to win. But overall, first of all, just like, who do you have winning this game?
I don't even know. I would say the Chiefs just because, I don't know, probably Mahomes, I would say, is the better quarterback. And I think, again, it comes down to the wire. I think Mahomes is outscoring Jalen Hurts. So I guess I'll take the Chiefs, but I honestly could care less. We talked about it on the podcast, but I do think that the Bengals and that Bengals game and those refs at the end of the game were extremely disappointing.
So,
extremely bad, but that's why I'm not. That's why I really don't have a say in the game again. Whoever wins, wins. It doesn't matter to me. I guess I used to really like the Eagles, so I guess I'm for the Eagles. But I also used to really like the Chiefs as well, so I don't know. I guess I hope for a good game.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good one to watch, regardless if you like the Chiefs or the Eagles. It'll be a fun one. But let's kind of hop into the Colts head coaching search. So
I have no clue who they're going to hire.
I think
read
it's
yesterday
be Shane Steichen.
And where's
from the Eagles?
From the Eagles,
offensive coordinator.
I thought we should go Cincinnati's offensive coordinator.
I don't know if he'd leave. Probably.
I mean, it's an NFL head coaching job.
I think
but
the reason I think this is because there's no reason to hire Jeff Saturday if he. If he was really a consideration, he'd be hired by now because he's already had an interview. He's already coached the team half the year.
Yeah. So are they going to announce it after the Super Bowl then?
I think so. And the same could really be said for Morris or Martindale, the other two candidates.
I don't know who you go with.
I think it's Steichen because obviously he's still coaching in the Super Bowl. That's why you're waiting.
And then was it Dan Campbell turned our second interview down or something like that?
Dan Campbell from the Lions?
No, not Dan Campbell. Sorry, Dan Quinn. Sorry, from old Atlanta's head coach, Dallas.
I think so.
Defensive coordinator. That's crazy to me because he turned the interview down. Harbaugh turned the interview down. Like that. That's actually kind of sad if you think about it. That they really don't want to come here and be the head coach.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it would be Harbaugh all the way through, but obviously, again, he's staying at Michigan. Good for him. But I don't know. Whoever you hire, I want a young offensive mind because you see those guys win in the league, young offensive minds. So, again, I want Eagles offensive coordinator, Bengals offensive coordinator, guy like that, a younger guy as well. I wouldn't go Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs just because he is an older guy and has – had a lot of head coaching jobs turned down, so I don't know. But I do think the Colts need to make a move pretty quick because, again, we have no clue who the next head coach is going to be.
Yeah, you really don't know. But a quote from Chris Ballard the other day, he said, "The interviews are over. I do not anticipate any additional meetings, though it's possible that could change, but it's not likely." And the team spent about 16 to 18 hours over two different interviews with candidates who received follow-ups. And also something to note is that the Colts are not allowing their defensive staff, led by Gus Bradley, interview anywhere else because they do want to retain the defensive staff, which I'm probably fine with keeping the defensive staff going. I think it's they did fine this year. I think they were one of the more bright spots of this team.
Yeah, but still, I don't know if I guess that could be someone. Yeah, I'm fine with that, I guess. Again, I just after last season, I would clear house, but that's just me personally. But again, yeah. You're right. The defense wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I guess giving up 33 points in the fourth quarter to the Cowboys was bad.
But that was bad, but, you know.
Other than that, I guess the meltdown in Minnesota was somewhat on the defense, too. But
yeah. Yeah, there's
I don't know. Defense. There's a lot, yeah.
But Gus Bradley's right. Overall a decent defensive coordinator, yeah. So let's talk about, where the Colts are probably going to be headed next season roster-wise. Do you think it's kind of – do you think they're for sure going quarterback with the
– Yeah, they have to be, right? I mean, unless you do the tank for Williams thing next year.
That's just risky.
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind it.
Every team is going to – a lot of teams are going to be doing that.
Okay. I don't know. It's
– you know, I think Bryce Young is very good. Same thing with Stroud. So, and Levis is decent, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens there, but I don't know. Roster-wise, I think you have to go quarterback, but if we didn't, I guess I wouldn't be too shocked because, again, Caleb Williams is in the draft next year, looking like one of the best prospects we've seen since probably Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. So, I don't know. I'm definitely interested to see who they go with there. But I don't know. I would go ahead and draft Stroud, Young, or Levis this year.
I think you got to trade up to number one. You got to do it because I think Bryce Young is the guy in this draft. I think he's easily the best player, best prospect, and I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. So I would just trade up, get Bryce Young. You know, if you get Shane Steichen, that'd be really cool. Because you have an offensive mind for rookie quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Then I really feel like the wide receiver core is fine. If you can bring back Paris Campbell,
yeah,
you got Jonathan Taylor. You got to improve the O line through the draft and free agency, and then there's not as many holes on the defensive side of the ball.
That's true.
So I think do you see the Colts being good next year?
No, I'm gonna be so honest with you.
I don't see them being very good either.
I see them being around a four-win team again, where they won
four wins
around there.
I think there was a lot of games this season that were decided by poor quarterback play. So I think if the roster's basically the same, I could see a lot of things.
I cannot see us making the playoffs. I think 8 games is about the limit you're going to get.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll one thing I do want to bring up though. Before we go on a quick break is – would you look at trading for Lamar Jackson?
No.
I would.
I wouldn't. If Lamar
came in, you'd be a playoff team. He's a proven winner. You improve the roster around him, get him. The wide receiver core in Indy's would be the best wide receiver core he's had in this league.
That's true. It's pretty sad.
He's really only I really don't think this wide receiver core is that bad. Pittman's a great wide receiver, too.
Correct.
Wide receiver one, he's okay. I think Alec Pierce is going to develop pretty well. I think he can, even if, like, you bring in another guy, he can still be great off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Paris Campbell, who I think he can be a great slot receiver if you can bring him back. And I think all Lamar needs, because of the fact that he's more run-heavy, is just a physical wide receiver one, and he has that in Pittman if he came here.
Right.
And in an already solidified running attack with Jonathan Taylor, I think that would work perfectly.
Yeah.
So I would honestly love to see them trade for them. I'd almost rather trade for Lamar than draft a quarterback.
The thing about Lamar is you've seen he's obviously injury prone over the last couple of years in the league. That's the one thing with him. And I also don't think – I don't know. I cannot – he had his great MVP year. I'm not taking that away from him. But other than that, I can't see him being that great of an NFL quarterback. I don't think he has the arm to do it. I don't think he has. I think he has the athleticism to be one, but that athleticism, his age is, you know, as he gets older, that athleticism starts to go. And then I think if you're in for him long time, I just don't think that's a good idea. And again, if you bring him in for a couple of years, you're the same thing that you had with Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, et cetera, et cetera.
He would last a lot longer.
I'm not saying that he would. I don't know. I just think, you know, again, I don't think his arm's awesome. I think his mobility with age, again, will diminish. And then I think that's
Mike something. Mike Vick still lasted pretty long.
He did, but I don't know. I don't think Lamar is Mike Vick. Plus, Mike Vick had a cannon, too. Lamar doesn't have the same arm Mike Vick did.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. Again, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I don't see that working out well for either side.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a tough call, but we'll get to that when we get to that. See what moves the Colts make. Now I want to transition into baseball, the Major League Baseball. We haven't talked about that all year. Something that's coming up soon. Every single year, it just feels like baseball's offseason is so short.
Yeah,
probably because they're, you know, like basketball and football go on during that offseason, but it's kind of nice.
Well, they go until October, so.
Yeah. And then it starts in, I mean, spring training goes from
spring
February
training
to
starts
March.
In a couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to preview the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds last year lost 100 games or so around that mark, which is embarrassing. But, you know, it was in probably a rebuild year.
In rebuilding years since 2012, so like.
No, see, the Reds tried to compete in 2020, made a wild card.
Should have won, by the way.
Yeah. And then 2021, that was the year where they kind of exceeded expectations. Castellanos went off, so did Jesse Winker.
Well, we missed the playoffs. We had a terrible month in September,
terrible.
Was it?
Yeah, it was September.
August, September. So it was right after the All-Star break.
They were in the wild card. And then the Cardinals went on that 20-so game win streak. The Reds dropped a lot. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's just. And then last year, had that 3-22 start. Honestly, did pretty.
We split with the world champions.
Yeah.
The first series.
Played decent after that point, though.
I mean,
the world champions. The Braves.
Yeah, we split with the world champions in the first
series.
They
played all right after that start. It was still like about probably a decent bit under 500. But for a few months there, a couple months, the Reds did look pretty decent. But, you know, a lot of trades were made. You obviously, during the offseason, trade away Jesse Winker. You let Nick Castellanos go. You trade away Brandon Drury, who last season did incredibly well
in
the first
half
season. You got a nice prospect for him. The Reds do have a top five farm, which is really exciting. It's something to look forward to as a Reds fan. You got guys like Spencer Steer, who's probably going to start the year. He's a really good prospect. Ellie De La Cruz is the guy I'm really excited for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watching him in Double A, Triple A, just going off. He's incredibly fast. He's a big body,
mm-hmm.
Which doesn't matter as much in baseball at all. But, you know, still at shortstop, you like that the wingspan. He's got a strong arm, incredibly fast. I think I already mentioned that.
I'm most excited to see the pitching and Hunter Johnson in year two. Or Hunter Green in year two.
Yeah, I am incredibly excited to see that. So,
can you imagine how good he would have been if he never had Tommy John? I mean, he would have.
I think he's still going to be
incredible. Oh, he's going to be great. Oh, man, yeah, for sure.
Also, a couple more big prospects to look out for is Reese Hines or Hines, I don't know. And then Levi Stout, number 24
Your
prospect.
Stout,
and then but they added a T at the end, so I don't really know. I'll just say Stout because that's basically my last name.
Yeah,
but he's a good pitching prospect. And then Ellie De La Cruz is the number one prospect for the Reds. So, yeah, I think he's actually number 10 in the MLB top 100. So I'll go over the Reds feature in the MLB top 100. Number 10, you have Ellie De La Cruz. Number 29, Noel V. Marte. Number 44, Edwin Arroyo. Number 69, Cam Collier. And Cam Collier is drafted this year.
Right.
So, I mean, he'll probably come up soon. But, yeah, and also just the trades that were made, it were really good, I think.
You talking
you got
about?
A lot of prospects, like from guys like Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle.
Yeah.
Completely revamped the team.
I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of it because, again, I thought you could have made a playoff berth with, again, you leave, you know, you
I
keep
didn't
Suarez.
Like, no,
you
I,
keep,
didn't like, I didn't like trading Winker. I think if you kept Winker and Castellanos, you brought in Drury. I think you could have made a playoff run. But they traded Winker, let go of Castellanos. Then you knew, like, yeah, they're just rebuilding again.
They got nothing for didn't they literally get nothing for Winker? Or was it?
They got Justin Dunn. They
who did
got
they,
a couple players.
Who'd they trade away? They traded away. Was it
Winker
and Suarez? Yeah.
They got a decent return for it. I think it was a pretty decent return.
That owner, the owner of the Reds, Bob Castillo. Is it Castillo?
Castellano or something.
Is it Castellano?
Like
that? Yeah, Bob Castellano. That dude is just. After last year, his comments about Reds fans and how we should be grateful for going on a 3-22 game losing streak or whatever. I think we lost 20.
Yeah,
no,
like
we
saying, where are you gonna go?
Lost like 19 that's in a row. Ridiculous. Yeah, it was so silly. But anyway, that's here nor there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I do actually have hopes for the season. I think Ellie De La Cruz is gonna come into spring training and kind of have a Jonathan India-esque year. Like India had a couple years ago where
India's really
expected
good.
Him to make the roster opening day, and he did, showed out one rookie of the year. I think Spencer Steer and Ellie De La Cruz are two guys. Maybe not Ellie De La Cruz because you don't know when he's going to come up, but I think Spencer Steer can win rookie of the year. The projected Reds starting lineup right now has a lot of hitters in it that I'm really excited for. Jonathan India leading off. He's a guy that I look at that I think he can be an all-star in the future, an all-star second baseman. You have Spencer Steer at third base, second in the lineup. I think, like I've said, I've been high on him. He ended the year off really good last year for us. Can't remember which trade he came in or if he was just a prospect, but he did play very well. Joey Votto at first base.
The GOAT.
Third in the lineup. There's question marks if he's going to be ready for the start of the season, but, you know, when he gets in there, that's where he'll be. As the designated hitter, you have Tyler Stevenson, who is the best hitter on the team. I think one of the best catchers in baseball.
Yeah, super
but
underrated.
It's just he has had quite a few injuries at catcher. You don't want to waste a hit.
That's true.
A bat
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's good defensively, but, you know, you can bring in catchers like they did with Kirk Caselli this offseason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That can still play pretty well on the defensive side. I'd like to see Tyler Stevenson be the DH and maybe when Votto retires, be the first baseman of the future.
Right.
So, and then you brought in Will Myers from the Padres, which for right field, which is a great signing. He's a veteran bat, very good bat. Probably will bat somewhere like fifth in the lineup. He's cheap. He's a guy like you can go a lot of ways. If you're the Reds and you find yourself, you know, making a playoff run, you can keep him. Or if it's like last year with Drury, he plays very well. You can trade him, get a little bit. So it just depends. It's a really good signing though. So really up until this point, there's no question marks. These are where the question marks start. Jake Fraley in left field. He was brought in the Mariners-Reds trade with Winker and Suarez. But I do think he's going to have a very good year in Great American Ballpark. He's still very young, got a lot of potential, good lefty bat, good power. I think this could really be a 25-plus homer year for Jake Fraley. And I think it will be the key to the success. The outfield has a lot of question marks. I think Will Myers is the only outfielder that you have right now that is like for sure going to probably be, you know, at least a 260 batting average type player, 20 homers. Mm-hmm. But if Jake Fraley can step up, that's where I can see the team excelling. Then TJ Friedl in center field, who he's decent. I'd like to see them maybe move someone to outfield to his place or sign somebody or maybe one of the prospects that comes up. But maybe he could break out. Then Kevin Newman at shortstop. which he'll just probably be there until Elly De La Cruz is ready. Or, you know, you still have Jose Barrero. He hasn't done much in the league so far, but he has been a top prospect. And then Kirk Caselli at catcher in the nine hole. I think that's a pretty good batting lineup, and I think it's an overall pretty solid defensive lineup. I don't think hitting is really the question with this team. I think it's going to be pitching, which I think pitching is still going to be pretty solid with Hunter Green. Mm-hmm. Nick Lodolo played pretty good. I'm missing Graham Ashcraft, played very well last year. I think those are three guys who, if they can develop well, they can lead that rotation. Then there's a couple guys you brought in trades and you signed that can be serviceable. And then also the other question is the bullpen. So I think this team can be very good this season and shatter expectations. I could also see them being very bad. They're really unpredictable.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young guys, but I'm really excited for this year. I think it can be a turning point in the franchise. Like, if you make the wild card, if you can somehow get a wild card bid, I think you can really turn the team around.
I'm also really high on pitching wise, Vladimir Gutierrez.
I'd like, if he doesn't find a spot starting, I'd like to see him move to the bullpen.
Yeah,
because I feel like in a lot of his starts, especially last season, he would have three very, very, very good innings, mm-hmm. and then he'd just kind of fall apart that maybe fourth, fifth inning.
No, I agree.
It's just, yeah, I'd like to see him in the bullpen. I'd like to see them bring back Luis Sessa for the bullpen,
mm-hmm.
you know, guys like that. I think they had a decent bullpen in 2020, and they just kind of got rid of a lot of guys.
Yeah.
That I kind of wish they didn't. But, you know, I'm excited for baseball. We'll bring a lot more coverage of baseball when spring training starts, specifically coverage to the Reds. So you can tune in to the Playbook Podcast for that, or tune in every Thursday from 9:15 to 10 a.m. for the Playbook Radio Show. But now let's transition to college hoops. You can go ahead and cover the Purdue Boilermakers.
So my still number one team in the country, Purdue Boilermakers. unfortunately, last Saturday, we had a heartbreaking loss to the Indiana Hoosiers, which Purdue was down 15 at half. They were down 15 points at half, and they came back swinging in the second half, outscored them by 10, but ended up losing by 5 points at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Obviously, you never want to lose to IU, but I think the fight that team showed, especially towards the end of the game, was really was just a really telltale sign of, you know, things to come, because I think, again, Purdue obviously is the better team than Indiana. But again, it was too bad that we ended up losing, but again, I think Purdue's in a fine spot. I think that loss will actually help them more than hurt them in the long run, just because I do think, again, it's going to get the players, you know, a reset, and I think I expect a lot of big things out of Purdue this month and to come. So, again, in that game, I think Big Ten Player of the Year should have ended there. The conversation should have ended there. Is Zach Edey against Trace Jackson Davis, the big boy matchup, really hyped up. Zach Edey went for 33, 18, and I think two assists, and he only played 32 minutes. In 39 minutes of action, Trace Jackson Davis, he scored, he had 25, 8, and I think one assist. Zach Edey had 3 blocks, and Trace Jackson Davis had 5 blocks. So, again, I think Big Ten Player of the Year, the discussion should have ended. And a lot of those points Trace scored, I think around 6 to 8 points were with Edey. Six to 8 points of Trace Jackson Davis's were when Edey was not on the floor as well. When he switched up to Edey, one time he tried to dunk the ball. There was a missed offensive foul call there. But anyway, Trace threw the ball off the backboard, and the other time he tried to go up with Edey, he missed. So again, I just think Big Ten Player of the Year discussion should have ended there, because again, Edey played one of his best games of his career. I don't know. It's too bad you have to lose to Indiana, but at the same time, I think that loss will be just fine for the Boilermakers, as they have Iowa tonight. So, yeah, that should be a fun game. Iowa comes into Mackey Arena. It's going to be a tough game, but I think Purdue should be able to pull it out in the end.
Yeah. I could see Purdue winning that game and winning the national championship this year. I really could see Purdue doing that. But I do want to talk about my Kentucky Wildcats. Also, I do want to also touch on the North Carolina Tar Heels. I think both them and Kentucky are – I really thought that they would get it together. They both have talented rosters, a lot of returning guys. You know, North Carolina returned Armando Bacot. Kentucky returned Oscar Tshiebwe. They just haven't figured it out yet, and I don't know if they will. I really don't. I don't know if North Carolina is going to make the tournament.
I think they will.
They're 15-9 right now, and it only gets tougher for them. They lost to Wake. You know, they host Clemson. That's a must. That's a must win. They host Miami. I'd say that's another must win. You go on the road to NC State. I don't see them winning that on the road. You go at Notre Dame. That's got to be a win. Host Virginia, I don't see them winning. At Florida State, I think that's a...
They should win that game.
That's a win. I gave them the game against Miami and Clemson. So, that's 11 losses, if we're being realistic. And then they host Duke last game of the season.
They should win that game.
They should, but I don't know, man.
It's going to be tough for North Carolina again.
If Michigan got in last year, I think teams like North Carolina and Kentucky are going to get in.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. It's going to be really tough for North Carolina.
I don't want to just jump the gun on Kentucky yet because they have been playing well, but that loss against Arkansas is just embarrassing.
Right.
Arkansas is a good team.
I think the SEC is weak. I think that conference is really weak, if I'm going to be so honest with you.
Yeah, I do think so.
Because, like,
it's just like,
man. What was it? Tennessee last night. Tennessee got bailed out by the refs against Auburn. Okay. Clear. He should have had 3 shots at the end of that game there.
Well, I wouldn't say should have lost, but, you know, he should have gotten to overtime.
Correct. Tennessee last night goes on the road to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I think they have now 5 SEC victories, something like that, 4 or 5. They're not good. Like, I'm going to straight up. They're not good. Alabama beat them regardless, it was at home, but they beat that same team, Vanderbilt team.
Went on the road and beat Vandy by double digits, I believe.
Right, so. Right. And Alabama beat them by 57 at their place, that same Vanderbilt team. I think Tennessee are frauds. 100% think they're frauds.
Yep.
I don't know. I just don't think they're, that great, to be honest with you. So, yeah, that's a team that I look for, and I'm like, wow, I don't think they're anywhere near the top 10, especially not top 5. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't even think they're top 25, to be honest with you.
They're top 25, but
I'm just saying they're going to get, like, Michigan beat them last year in March, okay? Before that, Purdue beat them in March. So I just think they're a team that's going to get there. I just don't see them making any sort of run in the tournament.
Yeah, I agree. But for Kentucky, their remaining schedule, I think they have a light remaining schedule. That's why they'll probably still get in the tournament. They go on the road at Georgia. That's probably a win. On the road at Mississippi State. That's going to be a tough one, but I think that should also be a win. That needs to be a win, quite frankly. You host Tennessee. That game is going to be big for Kentucky. I won't give them a win until I see if Tennessee bounces back. What do you think? Do you think that's a win for Kentucky at home, or?
Yeah, I would imagine.
So you think it's a win for? It just depends how they're playing. They're so inconsistent. You go on the road at Florida. You host Auburn. There's a chance you can finish February with 5 straight wins and improve to 21-8. And then you host Vanderbilt. That could be 22-8. You go on the road at Arkansas. I think that's a loss. So 22-9. And then you might have a loss to Tennessee. That might be 10 losses. I think at most you have 11 losses, and at the very least you have, I guess, 9, I'd say. So it's just going to be interesting. I think, you know what would be interesting, though?
What?
I think it would be cool if you got a Kentucky-UNC play-in game.
That would be
two
cool,
11
yeah.
seeds. I think that's honestly where it could be headed. I don't know if they do that because I think one of those teams they just put in. I think Kentucky and North Carolina will both get in regardless because they're Kentucky and North Carolina. I mean, I say it all the time. Michigan got in last year. I don't see why they won't. But it'll be a fun March. I think college basketball is pretty even this year.
Yeah.
I think Purdue's really the only top team, and they just lost to Indiana. So, which is great. It's a tough game.
Again, I've had people that were there that told me that's the loudest basketball game they've ever heard, ever been at.
And it's tough. So.
So I think. I think that, again, Purdue will never see an atmosphere like that again. So I'm not, again, I'm taking that loss more than, you know, just for.
Yeah, I still think they're very good. But I could see this March, I could see a lot of upsets happening. I could see 10, 11 seeds making the Final Four. I could see a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a lot of small runs. A team I do want to kind of just predict to make a run this year is Oral Roberts.
I could see it.
I think they're going to go into this. I mean, a couple years ago, they beat Ohio State as a 15 seed.
They made the Sweet 16.
They lost to Arkansas. But I could see Oral Roberts being like a 12 seed. I mean, they're almost top 25. They're getting votes for top 25.
Yeah, that's true.
I could see them being around a 12 seed, maybe 11 seed. I think that's stretching it because of how small a school they are. 12 seed, there's always a 12 over 5 upset. So I think that Oral Roberts is going to upset the 5 seed this year. Then you're playing, a 4 seed? I think they could upset that too. Obviously, I think their run would end by 1 seed, but I could see Oral Roberts making a run.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun year for March Madness, and we'll be here to cover it on the playbook.